think she's, wait, where, no, she's got it. Yeah, she's got it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Deb.
I want to make sure she turned it off.
Award? You got awards, okay? We bow. Okay.
We'll go ahead and get started with our post-race media availabilities. We're now joined by Coach Gibbs, our race-winning owner. Congratulations, Coach. We'll go ahead and open it up for questions. If you have one, please raise your hand, and we'll get a mic over to you. We'll come down to Zach and then to Cameron.
Zach Sterniello, NASCAR.com.
Yeah,
Coach.
Zach, yeah.
Congratulations. That last lap, there's obviously Reddick was charging to Briscoe's back bumper for a while there. You see Reddick make that move into turn three. What goes through your mind in a moment like that?
I got to tell you, the whole last 20 laps, what goes through your mind, you don't want something bad to happen. And it could be a lot of things, really. A wreck anywhere in the field causes a caution. And just to have that kind of night where the 19 was so dominant, and yeah, I mean, those kind of things do happen, and you certainly are praying they don't happen.
Go to Cameron.
Cameron Richardson, NASCAR.com. What have you seen in the growth of Chase on this team specifically? Because he started the season, you know, just trying to figure it out. They weren't really qualifying and practicing well, and then they would turn it around in the race and they get top fives, top tens. But, I mean, ever since the summer, there's kind of been just this massive turnaround where he's winning poles, he's just staying out front, and then he puts it all together tonight, not only starts up front, but then goes and leads 300 laps and wins the race. So what has been the favorite thing that you've seen out of him in just his first year here at JGR?
Well, I think it is gaining confidence as he goes. But I think the one thing that we all know in this sport, you look for speed. And the fact that he's been on, I think, five poles, and he's really, really been fast. And like tonight, starting up front and then to kind of dominate the race, I think what he showed is great speed. I think he's just really hard working, great person, great family guy. He and Marissa, you know, with their three kids now. It's just, it's a thrill to see somebody like that that goes, he's 30. And for him to have fought that long to be in the sport. And, you know, he's talked about sleeping on couches and stuff and begging people. And finally gets his chance in Xfinity and dominates that. I think it's just a great sports story, really. And we just really appreciate him. And I think for Johnny Morris and Bass Pro, he's a great fit. He loves to fish. He's got all that stuff going for himself, too. And so we just appreciate when you got a sponsor like Bass Pro, it's just a huge deal because we all know in our sport, they're at the top. And so it's great for us to have Johnny, JP, and their team to be a part of this. I really appreciate Toyota and all they do, obviously. It's just a big part of our race team, their partnership. I appreciate everybody back at the race shop, too. They don't get to enjoy this. We'll have a banner raising on Tuesday, and I get a chance to thank them. And so that's a big deal at our place. But just in general, it's huge for us because our sport is different than other sports. You got to have a great, I don't call them, lots of times, I don't call them sponsors, I call them partners, which that's what they are.
Right here in the middle, and then we'll come down here to Shane.
Hey, I'm Chris Weaver with Fox 8 WGHP up in High Point. Coach, when he won the race last year, you were one of the first people at Victory Lane to congratulate him. He wasn't even on your team yet. You guys had signed him, and I think we all heard you talk about why you signed him. But when you think about that win last year and then the chances of coming back and being that dominant again, what in your mindset was the thought process of him being able to pull this off again this year?
Well, I appreciate you remembering that because, yeah, we did. We hightailed it to Winner's Circle. It was just, hey, it was great. We went through a whole process and, you know, of who's going to replace Martin. And, man, it is, you know, it's hard with a lot of thought. And the way we do things at our race team, it's everybody sitting around, all of our management group, and we go through a lot of discussions of who would fit, who matches up with, you know, our sponsor And certainly we felt like Chase did with Bass Pro. And so it's a big process, and it's very important because that's a quarter of our race team. And so it's just, we got a lot of people that depend on that. JD used to always tell me that was his number one thought, was our people. You know, that, you know, we got 450 people we have to look after. And so it becomes critical, those decisions, because we all know, everybody in this room knows, you're not going anywhere unless you got a really, really good crew chief and a really, really good pit crew, and in particular, a really, really good driver. So that's kind of what our sport, you know, kind of honors.
We'll come down here to Shane, and then over here to the right to Pete.
Shane Connick, Charlotte Observer. Coach, when you think back to winning Super Bowls, and you have early in the playoffs, you want to get as big of a lead as you can, as early as you can, and try to get any buys that you can early in those rounds. And so when you were able to get a driver like Chase Briscoe, and not just win today, but do it as dominant this early in the playoffs, just how important is that starts the postseason?
Well, this racetrack is one that everybody in our sport thinks is probably one of the hardest racetracks to race. And when you go 500 miles, that thing is a long time, man. It's a test of machine and driver and pit crew. We probably had 10 pit stops tonight. And that crew so far has been number one on pit road for the last few weeks. So it takes everything. And if you go 500 miles here, odds are if you got a weakness, it's going to find you. And so thank goodness tonight, I said James and the team there, everybody, just really appreciate them. And I'm happy for James because it's a huge deal for him to be able to get together with Chase. And it takes an unusual chemistry for the crew chief and driver. They got to find a way to work together and go through all this. They've done it in a very quick amount of time. And I got to tell you, it's really impressive. And I'm in the background, so I all I do is pray. I think I like it.
We're going to go ahead and
y'all.
We're going to take a few more for Coach. And now we're joined by our race-winning crew chief, James Small. We'll go ahead in the back to Pete, and then to Jerry, and then over here to the left.
Hey, Joe. Pete Iacobelli with the Associated Press. You mentioned how Darlington can be a really treacherous track and things can go wrong. How good is it, first playoff weekend, for Joe Gibbs Racing to have Denny come back, bounce back and get in the top 10, for Toyota to have as many top seven finishers as it did tonight?
Yeah, really important. And I think, you know, if, you know, we do a lot together, and to have one of our cars really perform like it did tonight, I felt like really the 11 and 20 and even the 54 kind of got it hit on road there. So it probably took something away from our other cars. But I really felt like the fact that you got a car like the 19 tonight to do what it did, I think that's good for us. Because this racetrack, like I said, will really test you.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, kicking the tires.net. Was along those lines, you know, with your guys kind of spread out all across the field tonight, Bell being the lowest of the JGR cars, you know, just bad luck because he was up front most of the night. Is that kind of a bittersweet for you? And how do y'all, you know, deal with that?
Yeah, I think it's, you really look at it, all four of our cars are different stories. And, you know, you go into the playoffs with three of them being in, which is awesome. And so obviously a huge focus is on that, getting a chance for them to advance. And, you know, for the 54, we're trying to win the first race. And so that's a huge deal. So there's a lot each week when we go to the racetrack. And we kind of all work together at the shop. When we get to the racetrack, it pretty much divides up and everybody's kind of on their own. We still share some information. It's just, I love that part of our sport in the fact that it's really hard to get three or four teams to work together. And, you know, it's different than obviously football, basketball, and baseball. It takes a lot of really good people to really sacrifice for the overall good of the team. And we're just fortunate. We got great people, really. And so that part of it's really easy for us.
Yeah, we'll take one more question for Coach, and then we'll open up for James.
Yeah, Barry Richmond, WAKG, Danville, Virginia. You know, when we talk about Chase Briscoe and expectations for this year, what were your expectations? Has he exceeded those, or is he on course for what you hoped he would bring to the team?
I think he's definitely performing at a point where I don't think we kind of thought that would be possible. It's extremely hard. You come to a new team. You got to form a relationship with your crew chief and everybody, your pit crew and everybody, the engineering group, everybody that works on the car. That's really hard to do. And I got to tell you, it's a credit to James and everybody and to Chase, the way they've approached this in a very quick way and put that car up front. It's been extremely fast and had great finishes. And to get our second win with it is, you know, I don't think any of us would probably have felt that that would have been possible.
Thank you, Coach.
All right. Thank y'all. Appreciate it.
Thanks for
Go
your time,
get him,
Coach.
James.
Oh, yeah.
Well, go ahead and open questions up for James. We'll start down here with Jordan, then go to Zach, and then Cameron.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. You all right up there? You look very, I don't know.
It's fine. I'm just leaving. I can use colorful language now.
How big of a weight is this off your shoulders to start the playoffs like this with all, you know, it's the expectations that are on you guys?
You know, anytime you win the first round, you know, it's just a massive weight off your shoulders. It's just, you know, as you've seen before, anything can happen on any given week and put you in a hole. So now going to the next two races and just not being in that situation is just incredible. But also it just allows us to focus forward to the next round as well now. So obviously still metrics and trying to get more, you know, wins and bonus points and things like that for the next round definitely is, you know, still what we're going to try and do. But, yeah, we can definitely look forward now.
Did it feel tonight like the 19 team of when Martin was driving and you guys were hitting full song, leading all the laps, winning stages, and just kind of running away with things in a lot of respects?
Yeah, it did. You know, and we've done that here before and thrown away at the end of the race. You know, I woke up this morning and sent the guys a message, and I just had this feeling. It was like, you know, it's about time we give them a good old, you know, and yeah, and we just need to go and lay a, you know, old school beat down to them. And that's exactly what we did tonight. You know, Chase did a remarkable job, just lap after lap, and the pit crew on song tonight. They did an incredible job. So, you know, they've been getting better and better all year and really hit their stride, you know, the last 8 weeks or so. So, yeah, just really proud of everyone.
I don't know if I'd call you guys a dark horse because it seems like quite a few people are kind of picking you guys for the championship four, but do you feel like this is a championship caliber team as it is right now?
Oh, 100%. So, you know, we started. It was difficult, you know, new situation for everybody, and we had a little bit of learning to do. You know, had some new people on the team as well. So just, you know, we had some speed and just took a little bit to gel and get everybody on the same page and an understanding of what we're trying to achieve every week. So I think we're there now. And, you know, I think a night like tonight really will give Chase confidence that, you know, he belongs. You know, I know. He's told me he can feel people are racing him different now and things like that. And, you know, he's still relatively young in his career. And racing up front and competing for wins every week is not something that, you know, he's done on a week-in, week-out basis. But, you know, over the last 2-3 months, he's just gotten better and better and better. And, you know, tonight really showed that.
Come over here to Zach and then to Cameron.
Zach Sterniello, NASCAR.com. James, congratulations on this. The final moments of the race going into 3 and 4, obviously Reddick was making a battle of it the whole last run, but he makes that lunge into turn 3. What goes through your mind?
Yeah, I was just hoping he didn't slide up and tag us. You know, it's very hard to make a pass down there, and, you know, he hadn't been that great on the bottom. So, yeah, and he obviously was a little better at the end of that run, you know, starting in clean air there and having the longest run of the race. It was going to be difficult, you know, just with the balance of our car to keep the tires on it till the end of the race. You know, we'd been swinging a little free on those yellow flag stops, and it's just such a tight balance with this car to get it operating in all the conditions you need. So, yeah, it was going to be a challenge, but, yeah, Chase did a great job managing.
Go to Cameron, then Pete in the back.
Cameron Richardson, NASCAR.com. James, earlier this season, you know, you talked about, you know, how frustrating it was to not get stage points, but you guys were still grinding out, you know, top tens, top fives. At what point in the summer, or which race was it where that switch really flipped and you guys were really putting Saturdays together that led to top fives and eventually wins on Sunday?
Yeah, I think, you know, just within the team and within Chase himself and everything, I think it was like Kansas, final stage at Kansas. That was like the light switch. And really think when things started coming together and him really understanding it. And from that point on, you know, there's been a few hiccups along the way. And, you know, there's been some issues on pit road along the way as well. But, you know, our qualifying speed came in really well. We've been working really hard on that. And as you said, when you're up front, you qualify up front, it sets yourself up for a really successful Sunday in terms of getting as many points as you can. And, you know, I think you've seen it, like, not only our average finish, but our stage point accumulation in that period has, you know, been ridiculous compared to what we had in the first, you know, 10 races. So, you know, tonight was a great night again. And, yeah, we've just got to keep it rolling because every point's going to matter.
We'll go to Pete.
Hey, James. Pete Iacobelli, Associated Press. Was there a, did you guys have an issue with the alternator for a time? And how close was that to kind of derailing what you guys had going?
Yeah, we did. Still don't know what it was. Obviously was not charging and working properly. You know, it was holding steady, so it must have been doing something. But we shut down everything at the time, AC off. Cool shirt, he unplugged, turned it off. So, you know, he had the man up there. He was hot. We were giving him water every stop to pour on himself. And, you know, thankfully he listened and did some training like ours. So it paid off. So, yeah, he was hot, bothered, and, you know, his brain still worked well at the end there.
We'll come over here to the left to John.
John Newby, Savage Ventures. So you talked about your pit crew earlier and just the job that they did. I was curious, you know, so many teams on pit road made mistakes tonight. So many drivers made mistakes. You guys, pretty much flawless. So was that the, I guess, lack of a pep talk, as Chase called it? Or how did you guys just pull that off, you know, in a time when people just crumble under pressure?
I guess just preparation, man. Those guys work hard at the shop. They put themselves under pressure every practice. And realistically, you know, they've been doing a very good job. You know, they had a couple of hiccups at Richmond, and, you know, we've just got a good, solid group. You know, they're primarily veterans, a lot of them. One kind of younger guy, but, you know, most of them have been on our team for a while now and, you know, been through some times when they weren't so great and had issues as well. And, you know, those guys just never let up. And, you know, just proud of the effort they put in every day when they come to the shop and just work really hard at it. And you can see it in all the metrics we look at all the times and a performance like tonight. You know, that's going to give them a lot of confidence.
We'll come down here to Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. James, you know, one of the things we often hear about the playoffs is just how big of an advantage it is to win the first race in a round, because then you can kind of not skip the next two, but kind of focus on the other two. But when you guys are in a point position in terms of playoff points, and then there's going to be a reset in a couple of weeks, how do you look at having won? What does this provide for you, and what are things that maybe you still can't do because of your points position?
It does allow us a little bit, you know, we can start focusing a little bit on the next round, but I feel like to win this championship as well, you need to be all in, 36 races every time, just come trying to beat everybody down. I guess the engineers can go to sleep a little earlier this week and not have to worry as much, but, you know, I think all the people in our team, we just want to go out and kill everybody every day. So, you know, we're not going to change the level of effort we put in for these next two. It's just you can kind of – you don't have to worry, you know what I mean? Or if there's a situation that might be opportunistic for, you know, not scoring stage points or whatever, but it's going to set you up to win the race, you get the ability to do that. You know, you've seen before in the playoffs, I think it was Kansas 2 last year, a lot of guys did a strategy that really – wasn't what you needed to do to win the race, but they were all out there points racing each other. So, you know, to not be in that situation, I think, is a huge advantage, especially coming to Gateway and even Bristol. So, yeah, for that, that's going to be great. And, you know, just like to focus a little more to the next round now.
You know, what does this mean for you just to win a playoff race? I think it's what, your second career playoff victory.
Yeah, no, it's great. You know, we've had many missed opportunities at the Southern 500. You know, we've been close. You know, 2020, we crashed with Chase there. 2021, we came off after the last pit stop with the lead and we sped on pit road. So, you know, in 2022, we were killing everybody and we flipped the belt. So, yeah, I think this one's well overdue. And it's just a special race. This is my favorite track. It's a lot of people's favorite tracks, but to win here is, and especially the Southern 500, you know, we've won here the first race with Martin, but this one's even more special.
We'll take one more question in the back from Tim.
Tim Moore Motorsports Today, congrats on the win, James. When Chase came in here yesterday for his availability, he had mentioned that you guys hadn't talked about strategy or at least your approach to the round of 16. So I just want to first off know, is that true? And if it is, does that maybe change your outlook moving forward of, you know, you're just not going to exactly talk about what the plans are for a round going towards the round of 12?
My plan is going to win every week. So it's not, it's simple. So, like I said before, go out, try and beat everybody's faces in. So, you know, that's how we approach it. That's how everybody on the team does. So, you know, the one thing we did speak about is, you know, we spoke again this morning, just trying to be deliberate in your moves. Like, you don't need to be making low percentage moves, you know, that don't have, especially in stage one and two, when the points haven't been paid for them. You know, you got to be smart about that. Because, you know, we've had times this year, like, we're racing like we're still in his old car and he's making desperate moves. And, you know, he's openly admitted that and we talked about it a lot. So, you know, tonight he was very methodical in all his, all the way he got through traffic, the way he raced with Denny after he kind of moved him out of the way. And, yeah, it's good to see. So just got to do more of the same and be smart about it and we'll be fine.
All right, James, thanks for your time and congrats on the win.
Cheers, thanks.